Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Yes, pop culture. Reviewing the arts, books, movies, plays, television shows. That is part of what I do in this program. From time to time, it's nice to take a refreshing break from the heavy issues of life or a break from politics and instead talk about my other passion, the arts. I am very passionate about the arts. Unfortunately, the line between politics and art is rapidly disappearing. For that reason, today's program will be part television review and part political social commentary. I'm going to begin by reading an article from The Federalist. Comedy Central struck Diversity Day from a recent chronological broadcast of episodes from The Office. Asked by The Federalist why the episode did not air, Comedy Central declined to respond. Barstool Sports picked up on the episode's absence during a Sunday broadcast of the show's first season. An archived version of Comedy Central's listings for that day confirms it started airing the season with the pilot episode, then skipped straight to Healthcare, which originally aired third. Diversity Day did not appear on the network's Sunday schedule. Sports Illustrated writer Jim Triana noticed the same pattern last year, tweeting that Comedy Central removed Diversity Day from its rotation during a broadcast of The Office's first season. This is obviously intentional and absurd, but not remotely surprising. The Office previously edited out a scene from Dwight Christmas, in which Dwight appeared in blackface during an attempt to celebrate an authentic Pennsylvania Dutch Christmas. It was scrubbed from Netflix and Peacock. So I'm reading once again from The Federalist, and the writer here gives his own commentary. I like the way he's about to put this episode of Dwight Christmas. He says, "The point of the scene, of course, is to showcase offensive behavior. If we didn't all agree Dwight was behaving wrongly, there wouldn't be a joke. The effect is a reinforcement of our cultural boundaries regarding right and wrong." Well, again, that was a portion from The Federalist. Ironically, one of the people who sees comedy different than this writer of The Federalist is herself a comedian, and a very talented comedian at that, Sarah Silverman. When asked a while back by GQ regarding her own use of blackface, she said, and I quote, "That was such liberal bubble stuff where I actually thought it was dealing with racism by using racism. I don't get joy in that anymore. It makes me feel yucky." Sarah, your kowtowing and cowardice makes me feel yucky, and it's sad because I admired your talent. Nothing more depressing than a comedian apologizing for being funny. Jerry Seinfeld, rather than apologizing, says he won't perform at a college campus anymore because people don't know how to laugh anymore. He's right. They don't know how to laugh. All they know is how to feel offended through the lens of their hypersensitivity. Steve Carell himself, the star of The Office for 7 years, talked about this a while back, somewhat waffling, somewhat defending his program. He was kind of straddling the fence here. Here were his words. It looks like they were asking him about some kind of possible Office reboot. He says, "Apart from the fact that I just don't think that's a good idea, it might be impossible to do that show today and have people accept it the way it was accepted 10 years ago. The climate's different. I mean, the whole idea of that character, Michael Scott, so much of it was predicated on inappropriate behavior. I mean, he's certainly not a model boss. A lot of what is depicted on that show is completely wrong-minded. That's the point, you know? But I just don't know how that would fly now. There's a very high awareness of offensive things today, which is good for sure, but at the same time, when you take a character like that too literally, it doesn't really work." All right, my friends, let's unpack this. Diversity Day, the original episode in question, was a brilliant episode which helped set the tone of the program because, once again, it was only their second episode. What I loved about The Office was that it was a parody of reality shows. Since I can't stand reality shows, I love seeing them made fun of. I love seeing people say stupid things in front of the camera, only to catch themselves, try to clean it up, and in the process say something even stupider. And for this television project, loaded with genius satire, they created a small fictitious paper company, because in the age of laptops and internet, paper is an industry in decline. And instead of the typical boss whom people fear and try to impress, Steve Carell's Michael Scott was the boss who wanted to be loved. The boss who wanted his employees to be his friend. The boss with zero boundaries, zero self-awareness. A boss who thought he was funny and was instead offensive. We've all had that experience of somebody around us and they're just really proud of the way they're behaving and we just don't know how to tell them what we're all feeling like. Steve Carell was so convincing, it was uncomfortable watching it, but it was also hilarious. His character, Michael Scott, and that paper company existed in Scranton. Scott was portrayed as an absolute moron, which reminds us of another moron who brags about being a working man from Scranton, Joe Biden. Sorry, I'll get off that depressing subject. Why talk about genuine buffoonery when we can return to fictitious buffoonery? Back to the office. Diversity Day was about an offensive joke Michael Scott told. Corporate heard about it, sent a sensitivity specialist to give a seminar, pretending he needed everyone to sign a statement after they finished the one-hour seminar. In reality, Scott was the only one who needed to sign it. The instructor made copies for the others so as not to embarrass Scott. He admits this to the cameras filming this reality show, which of course blows the cover and embarrasses Scott anyway. Look, I can't stand political correctness, and if this episode had been making fun of political correctness, that would have been just fine with me. But as it happens, this episode did not make fun of political correctness. It made fun of racism. It did not promote racism. It made fun of it. Michael Scott could not possibly have been portrayed in a more negative light. Unfortunately, that's not good enough anymore. We've still got to parse the actual words that came out of his mouth, regardless of how it's supposed to be portrayed. We must watch like a hawk every piece of dialogue, regardless of the purpose or humor of the dialogue. By the way, speaking against real racism, ironically, has nothing to do with all that phony, tiresome political correctness. The PC movement finds racism under every pear tree. When real racism is called out, it's not politically correct. It's just true. It's just appropriate to call it out. The Office was a hilarious sitcom. Now, in the interest of giving an accurate review, the series did take a nosedive quality-wise after Steve Carell left. But that wasn't because of inappropriate subject matter. It's just because artistically the actors were overacting, the writing staff changed. And frankly, it was heading that direction even during the last two seasons when Carell was still on board. They still had a handful of good episodes, season six, season seven. They also had a lot of clunkers those years, but seasons 1 through 5, the first five, were absolutely brilliant. How sad that a network like Comedy Central, claiming to be about comedy, they do call themselves Comedy Central, not Thought Police Central, Comedy Central. How ironic that a comedy network is caving to the cancel culture Thought Police. Either that, or they're doing a preemptive strike out of fear of the Thought Police headed their direction. My friends, it will not stop with this one episode. Take it from somebody who was an avid fan and who watches the reruns constantly. There are far more offensive episodes than Diversity Day. Offensive, so-called. I wouldn't be surprised if they remove the entire series. When will this self-righteous claptrap nitpicking stop? We must all be able to laugh at ourselves and laugh at others. I myself am a Christian apologist. I get frustrated when I hear fellow Christians defend their faith without any logic or when Christians are unfairly portrayed. Be that as it may, in a hilarious episode of The Office called Fun Run, Michael Scott talks to the camera defending the existence of God. Here's his defense. Does God exist? If not, then why do we have so many churches? And who is Jesus' dad? One couldn't ask for a stupider depiction of a Christian defending his faith. I did not get offended. I laughed. Why? Because it was funny! Because when we can't laugh anymore, we take ourselves too seriously. They were making fun of one man and one lame argument. It was not intended as a treatise about the reliability of Christianity in general. Now, to be thorough on this point and balanced on this point, they do have a regular character named Angela, portrayed constantly as a hypocritical Christian, and in the eyes of Hollywood elitists, they undoubtedly think that all Christians act that way. They undoubtedly think she's typical of most Christians. In the case of Angela, the producers probably were trying to make a statement. I don't like that. I still wouldn't push to have them censored because I believe people are entitled to their opinions, even if, God forbid, the opinion is different than mine. As a matter of fact, The Office showed a lot of stuff that contradicts my own Christian standards. At the beginning of season 3, one of their characters, Oscar, came out of the closet as gay. These days on television, you can barely find any program, drama, or comedy that doesn't do that same thing constantly. And I didn't like it when The Office did it either, but in their case, it was a number of years ago. Despite my disagreement, I could at least call it a gutsy original move for its day, for its time. They were thinking outside of the box rather than doing an obligatory jumping on the bandwagon as shows do today, so I viewed it a little bit differently. Speaking of being gutsy and ahead of its time, there was another comedy very big in the early 70s that could never be made today, All in the Family. Archie Bunker was portrayed as a stupid bigot who constantly argued with his liberal son-in-law. His remarks were funny because of their stupidity. They were not being condoned by the show's creator, Norman Lear. Even back then, when the show premiered, the CBS network, willing to take the risk, still felt the need to give a disclaimer announcement prior to each of the first few episodes. Here are the exact words of the disclaimer. The program you are about to see is All in the Family. It seeks to throw a humorous spotlight on our frailties, prejudices, and concerns. By making them a source of laughter, we hope to show, in a mature fashion, just how absurd they are. That was the disclaimer. We had to listen to that at the beginning of every episode for the first few weeks, as if people weren't intelligent enough to make that distinction for themselves. Well, some weren't. Even back then, I used to hear, oh, people aren't laughing at Archie Bunker. They're laughing with Archie Bunker. No, they weren't. Not really. It was a program ahead of its time, a show that talked about bigotry when most other television programs wouldn't even mention the subject. And today, you would not be able to air that program in most places. A more classic example is the novel Huck Finn. Mark Twain was relaying a distaste for the horrible institution of slavery, as seen through the eyes and narration of a young child from the South who was brought up to believe slavery was okay, but who began to observe otherwise when a slave man befriends him. However, Twain had people from the South talk the way they talked. That meant they used the N-word. How many schools and libraries have since banned Huck Finn on the basis of racism, when in reality, Huck Finn spoke out against racism before it became fashionable to speak against racism long, long before? Always the brave suffer. Always the courageous pay a price, while the cowardly pack of sheep muddle their way along. My friends, start speaking out, or soon there will be nothing left of our culture than a bland, boring life and a tyrannical government which, among other things, outlaws even laughter. And the only funny thing remaining will be a picture more sad than funny, our president mumbling, bumbling, and stumbling his way through a so-called press conference like Michael Scott. He comes from Scranton. I should apologize to everybody who really lives in Scranton. I feel for you. You would rather rally around the office than the man who holds the office of president. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.